It's time to step into the Coming Out Lounge, a cool, safe space to be true to your sexual self, with your host, Rick Clemens. Rick has helped hundreds of people come out of the closet, and now each week he's bringing you cool insights for loving and accepting yourself, boosting your self-confidence, and living a guilt-free, purpose-filled life on the other side of the closet doors. Cuddle up with yourself and get ready for heartwarming coming out stories, ideas for living authentically, and tips for being fully self-expressed. Now here's your host, Coming Out Coach Rick.
Hello, Closet Busters. It's time once again to stop the closet dwelling and to step out, step up, and step into living your powerful truth. In fact, today I want to talk about living your powerful truth from a perspective of really being who you are and coming into being yourself. But before we dive into this week's show, there's a little bit of wisdom that I believe is probably the most important and sometimes often forgotten thing in the coming out journey. The biggest step of all is that step of fully coming out to ourselves. That's that first step. And as simple as that may seem to us as we think through, okay, how am I going to do this? We often forget accepting ourselves is the most important thing, and fully embracing who we truly are after we admit to ourselves that we're gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgender. Now, you may be going, okay, well, why does Rick seem so adamant about this, and why do I know this to be true? Because, personally, I've lived it, and so has today's guest. In fact, this ideology is so prevalent for him in his life that he actually wrote a wonderful book entitled Coming Out to Ourselves, Admitting, Accepting, and Embracing Who We Truly Are. And so today, to help me explore some of the stuff about spirituality and religion and coming out to ourselves and putting everything in kind of a very beautiful spiritual framework is Reverend Jerry Troyer from the Joyful Living Center in San Diego, California. Welcome to the show, Jerry. Glad to have you here.
Thank you, Rick. My pleasure. Thank you.
Well, you know, you and I have kind of been doing a song and dance together for a year or so, trying to connect on different ways. And we finally made it happen. So I'm really excited about it. So why don't you tell us first off a little bit about your work, what you do at the Joyful Living Spiritual Center in San Diego to kind of set the tone for the rest of our conversation.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I am the senior minister at Joyful Living Spiritual Center in San Diego. We are a non-denominational center with an emphasis on the law of attraction and our own personal power. I use the Bible every once in a while in reference, but really just the first four books of the New Testament in the words of Jesus, and not the Old Testament and not the rest of the book, recognizing that we really do create our experience, that life is lived from the inside out, whether we recognize it or not, and if there's an area in our lives that doesn't work for us, as we heal our guilt and shame and regret and anger and all the rest of that, our lives change, and we begin to make better choices for ourselves.
So this is interesting because I was just interviewing another guest not too long ago who's transgender, and we talked a lot about healing and how it all begins from the inside out. And in the case of transgenders, often then part of the healing is the outside in, changes that get made surgically and through hormones and things such as that. So for those of us who are struggling going down this path, it really, I've always felt it's very much an inside job. It's really about getting deep within ourselves. And I think your book pretty much speaks to this. So this embracing ourselves, why do you feel like that's like so important in this journey of coming out?
Because for so many of us, we've lived with the feelings of guilt and shame for so many years, and whether you grew up in traditional Christianity or some other religious practice, or even never set foot in a church in your life, there is that, I call it the collective consciousness, that somehow being gay is bad, that somehow this was a mistake, that somehow God, who the old, white, straight man with the white beard up on a cloud someplace, hates us, which is absolute nonsense, but we took that in when we were very young, and so what I know is that the choices we make on a daily basis reflect what we believe about ourselves. So if I still think God hates me somehow, or haven't recognized that underlying belief in my life, I may very well make choices that don't reflect my best interests. I won't be able to get, I might not be able to get and stay clean and sober. I might not be able to lose the weight and keep it off. I might go from one destructive relationship to another. I might keep spending the rent money on new shoes. Whatever it is, mm-hmm. I'm not making those choices that really reflect my worth and value. And so the embracing comes in when we finally get it that we're, and quoting Lady Gaga, we were born this way. Mm-hmm. We were born this way, and even if we're transgendered, we were born to walk through this and to express the truth of who we are and then embrace that.
I think this is really powerful stuff, and I love that you use the terminology in our best interest. I know for me, when I'm working with clients or when I'm having casual conversations about the bigger things in life and what we want and what we desire, I often encourage people to say, this is what I desire, this is what I'd like to be brought into my life. But I ask them to add on the if it's in my best interest piece to it, because we may think we know what's in our best interest and we may try to manifest it at times, but at many times when we get frustrated or something, it's because that thing we're desiring isn't really the thing that is in our best interest. And I think we miss this piece as we're going through life, but especially as we're coming through the coming out journey. There's going to be lots of different places and detours and bumps along the road that we're going to go, why is this happening? Well, it's happening because the direction you're headed isn't necessarily right in your best interest.
Yes. I have a wonderful sign on my refrigerator that says, it is okay for me to have everything I want. Now, that does not mean the entire half gallon of ice cream.
Right.
That does not mean all of the leftover pizza. It's what I really want, which is to lose the weight and get healthy, or to get into the relationship with someone who really loves me and who I love. But we're not going to be able to do that until we really embrace who we are and love ourselves and release all this guilt and shame and nonsense.
Well, and I think that piece is also, and I'll be interested to hear what you think about this, until we can do that, we are not really prepared to embrace and accept other people's actions, other people's gifts, other people's way of being in the world. We can't do that for someone else, especially in the coming out journey, because we know, you and I who've been out and those that are listening who've been out for many years, know that not everybody's going to accept us. But
yes,
there's a piece of learning to accept that comes along with, if you haven't fully learned, and I don't know that we ever fully learn how to embrace and love ourselves, but as long as it's a present piece of our daily work, until we begin to do that on a regular basis, it's going to be very hard to accept other people where they are. And I think this is a big piece of the coming out journey, is realizing if we can accept people where they are, yes, there's going to be differences. It's just part of who we are as a humanity. But to be able to get past that is like almost the bigger piece of being human in this journey. So how many years have you been working in this ministry, Jerry, working with people around lots of different changes in life? But I know you're very active in the gay and lesbian community. How many years has it been?
I've been minister of my center for 10 years, just celebrated my 10th anniversary.
Congrats.
The kind of the catalyst for the book was I was doing this and also working full-time for a market research company, was laid off, or what I like to say, lovingly released from that job the end of 2008. And then the middle of 2009, life kind of blew up because I found that my husband had been involved in substance abuse. Mm-hmm. And so we went through about 9 months of his use of crystal meth. And his going away and being gone for 3 or 4 days and then coming home and saying, I'm so sorry, it'll never happen again. And I, of course, had no idea what was going on. And so through this 9 or 10 month process, he finally quit his job, which was making him sick, literally, went through 6 months of outpatient treatment and is doing fantastically. But through that process, what I really got was what we, the collective, we do when we can't admit something. Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned, the subtitle of the book, Admitting, Accepting, and Embracing, and the admitting part is, I just can't be in this job anymore. I just can't live a lie anymore. I just can't, and you get to fill in the blank. And so when we're not able to say, no, this is no longer my truth, we cover it up by living a lie, mm-hmm. by using food or drugs or alcohol or whatever to kind of dull the pain. And we wind up very often making a big mess.
Right.
So this admitting piece is the first step in saying, no, I'm worth more than this. I just can't do this. And it's got to be okay. And I love what you said earlier. It's got to be okay that not everybody approves of us, because not everybody's going to approve of us no matter who we are and what we do.
Right.
You know, that's just how life is. I don't like people with blonde hair, or I don't like people with green eyes, or whatever it is that's out there. But because, like we said before, life is lived from the inside out, we've got to accept our and embrace ourselves. And then once we do that, somebody else's opinion doesn't matter so much.
Well, and I think this piece of somebody else's opinion really mattering. Okay, so we're all humans. We all desire love. We all want to be accepted. But I think when we can take this acceptance piece and realize it's about fitting in and still wanting to be part of something as much as it is acceptance. And I know I'm kind of playing with words right now, but this never really hit me until the last couple of weeks. I was working on something around this. How do we strive to fit in? We want to be different. We want to be our own person, but we still have this innate desire to fit in and get approval. And yes. when we do the approval and the acceptance, sometimes I think we get lost in ourselves instead of just saying, what I really desire is I just want to be part of something bigger than myself. I don't want to just be a lone island out here. Now, some people, very few, I believe, maybe do want to be those lone islands, and that's just the way they're going to be. But I think there's a piece of when we can fully, as you say, admit and accept ourselves and really truly embrace ourselves, this acceptance is not as big as it is, I want to fit in. I want to fit in some way. I don't have to fit in 100%, but I want to fit in. And I know a lot of people that come out of the closet, that's the first thing they're seeking is, okay, where's my group? Where's my you know, tribe, so to speak, that I can fit in right. the LGBT community. And oftentimes that can take us down a whole other path as well, into the drug abuse, the sex, you know, sex addiction, whatever it may be. In your work, I'm just curious how many people tend to find solace in, you know, some kind of spiritual practice. Is it like something regular you see as people are kind of coming into the community, or do they kind of just, yeah, that's nice, but I'm going to go do something else? Is it really a prominent thing that people want to have a spiritual practice in play as they come into the community?
It's interesting because we in the LGBTQ community have been, and as we all know, kind of been ostracized, and other than Metropolitan Community Church that Troy Perry started back in the 80s, there hasn't been really any place for us to go to be spiritual, and I would clarify spiritual versus religious.
Yep, absolutely.
So with more denominations and more denominations beginning to recognize that, you know, maybe what we thought the Bible says for all these years, maybe it doesn't say that, or maybe we don't think the Bible's worth the paper it's printed on, and so we can do a spiritual practice by being a group going for a walk in the desert, or mm-hmm. working for social justice and recognizing the worth and value of each individual, or these other things. But the spiritual part of this is one of the wonderful ways, like you were talking about earlier, to have that community and be mm-hmm. involved with other people in a like-minded people in a group, which is so wonderful. So we've come a long way, but I believe we have a long way to go because so many people in our community, you say the word spirituality and they want to run in the other direction, and I get that. Mm-hmm. I absolutely understand that because we're wounded by traditional Christianity. And again, even if you've never set foot in a church, you know what they think the Bible says.
Right. And I think you've hit the nail on the head where this is the piece that really does scare people away is, oh, okay, spirituality and Christianity, religion, whatever, it all mixes. And it's very confusing. In fact, as I work with individuals coming out of the closet, this is usually one of the first big hurdles we start to work on and cross is, okay, if it was your choice and your decision to be in a spiritual way with your beliefs, okay, not the beliefs, they may be, some of them may be what you were raised on, mm-hmm. but at peace with your beliefs, and they had nothing to do negatively with you as a gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender person, that you could just come to peace with those, what would be different? And it's such a powerful question because in the moment that I say that, and usually if I can see the person, but even when I can't see the person because I'm working over the phone with them, I sense that peace that starts to flow in, like, oh, you mean I can actually think this way?
Yes.
I think that's really powerful, which is kind of your message too, is we can choose how we want to bring things into our lives and how we want to be in life. And somebody listening may go, yeah, duh, Rick, but no, I'm going for the deeper choice, which is kind of what
right.
you talk about, right?
And you know, and you're absolutely right. And this concept, and I often say, if you're not using your mind, who is?
Mm.
Are you thinking as you are in this moment, or are you still listening to that old stuff that you were taught growing up that may very well not be true?
Right.
So we have to finally say, now wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. And even though our parents believed it, our grandparents believed it, our ministers believe it, that's not true for me.
So but I think that's the key.
We get to have our own thoughts. Absolutely.
That's the key, is being able, and again, I'm going to go back to the subtitle of your book, Admitting, Accepting, and Embracing. You can say, I admit, I accept, and I embrace that that's not true for me.
Yes.
And it's a very big moment. In fact, I've talked about this a couple of times on the show, so I don't want to go too deep into it again here, but there may be new listeners. But I remember specifically the night that finally came to me. And I was in Laguna Beach, where I lived at the time, right after my divorce and coming out. And I was in a very painful place with my convictions and my belief in a higher power. And I remember sitting on the sand right at the ocean's edge saying, if this is not who I'm meant to be, if this is truly not who I'm meant to be, then please let the waves wash over me and take me out to sea and take me out of this pain. And I remember this huge wave of relief, not literal wave, but the huge wave of relief washing over me as I said those words. And I realized then and there that something bigger than me was signaling to me, you are as you are and meant to be as you are, and you are loved as you are. And from that moment forward, I had a very different relationship with my maker. And I think you can tell by the words I'm using that I believe in a higher power. I believe there's something else beyond me and how I just happen to show up here in the world. I think when we can step into this space and say, I get to choose and I get to make this true for me in my own way, it just brings so much peace into our lives. And I know that's a lot of what you try to do to help people really bring that peace into their lives as they go through these journeys.
Yes. Yes, and it really is about questioning, why do I believe this? And again, is this that I was taught growing up? Is this that they're saying on the television? Is this that I've read over time? Is this really true, and is it true for me?
Right. But here's the interesting twist. Okay, I know we often get this put into the framework of Christianity and the Bible and homosexuality. I can just go for homosexuality, but we could put gay, we could put everybody, bisexual, transgender, into this. But
right.
What I find so interesting is this seems to be the hot button that pushes everybody's buttons, gays and lesbians, the same way it does Christians. Yet the same button is being pushed when somebody grows up in a fundamental Christian environment and then later in life decides, no, that just doesn't really fit for me. But you don't see it being publicized all over the media. But it's the same exact decision. It's just there's something about the way they were raised and whatever that doesn't fit for them. They move on. Some may move on to another practice. Some may move on to another religious church. But I find it so interesting that this happens every day, folks. It happens all around us daily. People walk right away, but yet because it's the, quote, gay thing, let's make sure this is the thing that gets picked on. And it gets picked on way too much.
And it's really interesting because if you take the time to read the Bible, and if, first of all, if you believe the Bible has any relevance,
yep.
If you take the time, and that's a big if, and that's okay, if you take the time to read through Leviticus in the Old Testament, where it says that it's an abomination for a man to lie with a man as he does with a woman, it also talks about tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
It talks about trimming your beard.
Yep.
It talks about a lot of the historical stuff that was going on at the time. But it's interesting because what I recently learned was abomination is a mistranslation because there's no Aramaic word for abomination.
Hmm. Interesting.
Which is real, and I got that from a Jewish rabbi, by the way.
Interesting.
So it's really interesting because all of this that we've believed for however many years ain't necessarily so.
Right. Well, but I think that's part of the reason at this stage that this is showing up so prevalent in our world is people are beginning to question, is this really what's meant to be believed? And is yes. this more than, have we made this more than it needs to be? And I'll be the first to say, you know, I honor much of what the Bible says, but I also question quite a bit of what it says. And I take it into context for what works with me and yeah. for me. And I think like anything else, you know, my husband and I were talking about this yesterday about why is this so important that what happens in someone's home is affecting everybody else. So if somebody chooses not to read the Bible or they choose to read the Bible, if they choose to have, you know, kinky sex in their home or not to have kinky sex, if they choose to have more than one partner in their home, and why does this affect everybody else? It's still mind-boggling to me, other than it's fear. Fear of the unknown, fear that maybe I'm not controlling things, fear that maybe I'm not going to get my little chit in my belt to get me to heaven, whatever it might be. However, when go ahead.
Yes, and I was just going to say, also, very often, when we can get involved in someone else's business and judge someone else's business, that means we don't have to look at our own.
Absolutely.
You know, when I was in kindergarten, they told us to keep our eyes on our own paper. Mm-hmm. But in life and in, you know, look at the reality shows on television. Who in the world cares what Kendra's doing? Mm-hmm. Well, somebody must, because they're selling advertising and people are watching it.
Right.
But it's when we're in somebody else's business, what we can say, well, I'm better than that. My relationships are better than that, etc. And so what part of the, I don't like the word challenge, part of the opportunity for us, especially in the LGBT community, is to recognize who's talking when they're saying something, mm-hmm. and recognize that so much of it really is just background noise.
It is. I love that.
Background noise. Thanks to social media, we get to hear what everybody thinks about everything. And who cares what an NFL football player says about gay marriage? Who cares about what a Republican says about Caitlyn Jenner, because you know what they're going to say, you know what they think, and it doesn't matter to us. But right. we can't pick that up and make it our truth.
Right.
You know,
but
again,
I think
going
what you,
back, if you're not using your mind, who is?
Right. But what you just said is also true. I love this pick it up and making it our truth. When I work with somebody, typically in any kind of coaching session, not just coming out, one of the things I bring up often is, so is that your truth? And if so, when did you make it your truth?
Love that. Absolutely. And that's so important.
Well, it is because we can all be influenced. We get it. We're all humans. We can be influenced by any number of things. But the moment that influence becomes our truth, there's a dynamic shift in who we are. There's a dynamic shift in our values. There's a dynamic shift in how we show up in the world. There's a dynamic shift in how we interact with people in general, which kind of leads me to this space of you and I were talking when we first started talking about having you come on the show about the different ways that spirituality shows up for different people in this journey. And I'm going to be, again, the first to say that if spirituality and any kind of religious practice isn't something that supports you during your coming out journey, then wash your hands of it and move forward. But if there's an urge to be in some kind of practice as a means to helping you as you go through the doorways, by all means, I would, just almost not insist, because I would say, like, Rick's telling me to do this, but I would truly invite you to find the religious practice, the spiritual practice that, you know, feeds your soul. Everything from Buddhism to traditional Christianity to even those that are agnostic and atheist. If that's what feeds your soul through this journey, then lean into it. And I'm sure you have some interesting concepts around looking at all the different spiritual practices as well, Jerry.
I do, and I'll bring this up. I am the founder of the LGBTQ Spiritual Summit, which is a nonprofit organization. We did our first event in San Diego last August. You just never know how people in the community are going to respond. And I mean, does anybody care? And is there interest in this? We had over 100 people at our first event in San Diego, and then our second event was in Palm Springs this last March, and we had about 90 people there. And a panel of representatives from 10 different religious denominations and spiritual practices. And so what I found in this experience and in talking with people in the audience, that there really is interest, because that's a piece of so many of us. Mm-hmm. And so what, and thankfully in 2015, we can be gay and Catholic, and there are Catholics in many major cities that will welcome us, not tolerate us. I don't like that word. You know, you tolerate a rock in your shoe.
Right.
I want to be, and I don't just want to be accepted, I want to be embraced. So groups who will embrace us, but also if traditional Christianity doesn't work for you, there's Religious Science or New Thought, which is the teaching that I'm part of. There's Unitarian Universalists. There's in the Jewish community, there are synagogues that welcome LGBT people. But I believe it's so important to look at what we feel about this and see if there's healing that needs to be done related to our belief in a higher power.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't believe in one, that's okay. But again, like we talked about before, if you have the belief that God hates you or just any of that residue,
right,
heal that and maybe ultimately forgive the church or synagogue you grew up in.
Right.
Because we've got to heal that processes, that experience as well. So in this coming out, I believe what we believe about our higher power is a big piece of that.
Well, I think it goes back to what you've said. Back to the title of the book: admitting, accepting, and embracing who we truly are in our spiritual self and our religious self, and making peace with it. I mean, you have to embrace, okay, I say have to, you don't have to do anything, but I would like to encourage people to embrace that whatever you've been taught, everything from any religious practice to right or wrong and daily stuff and all that sort of stuff, is yours to re-examine as you come through the closet doors and go and say, as we already talked about, does this fit for me? As you do the question of, does this fit for me? to also realize that if it doesn't, I would encourage you to extend metaphorically or maybe realistically an olive branch back to where those learnings came from so that you can heal it. I don't hold anything against my Seventh-day Adventist upbringing. I realize the beauties of pieces of it, and I realize there's other pieces of it that don't really align with who I am. But until I had that moment at the beach, I couldn't come to peace with it. And I think this is really the essence of what you're saying, too, is we have to heal this beautiful pile of residue in our lives before we can move over the hump in our lives. You've got to go, oh my gosh, that pile is so big, but until we can start to heal it, and the healing starts with, as you so eloquently put in your book, really loving and embracing and accepting and admitting all those pieces of this, and that includes giving that right back to whence you came from so that you can truly move forward.
Yeah. Right.
So we are, believe it or not, we are at the end of the show already, which just always blows my mind when we get to this place. But one of the things that I always enjoy hearing from each of my guests is, you know, it's the Coming Out Lounge. We talk a lot about different things, different ways people can be who they are in their lives. But as somebody's coming through this journey, what would be one of the things that you would highly encourage someone try to do for themselves as they go through the doorway?
Really recognize that you deserve to be who you are. You know, we didn't come with flaws. We didn't come with anything other than our being the beloved, and call yourself the beloved of God, the beloved of life, whatever you want to say. And so when we were born, we didn't know any of this nonsense. It's just who we were, and we had a wonderful time, and we asked for what we wanted, and life loved us, and then we learned all this nonsense as we went along. And so at any point, we get to really, again, and it's so important, decide what's true for us and decide what's not, and be aware of what's really in our best interests.
Well, I really like what you chose to pass on, that you deserve to be who you are. The moment that we lose that piece that, oh, I don't really deserve this, you're fighting your own uphill battle. As soon as you buy into that, you're fighting your own battle. And this is the piece that is the true stronghold of, I deserve to be me, plain and simple.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I stepped into this work initially, was I wanted people to realize they do deserve to be who they are, in their beauty, in their scars, in their flaws, whatever they are, because every one of us has something beautiful to contribute to the world in our own unique way. So, Jerry, I appreciate you being here on the show with me today. Now, if somebody wanted to, like, touch base with you, or if they're ever in the area, what's the best way for people to find out more about you and about the Spiritual Center?
Absolutely, and thank you for asking. My personal website is revjerry.com, revjerry.com. You can go there to get more information about me, about where I'm going to be guest speaking, as well as more information about the book. That also has a link to my center's website.
Awesome.
We meet every Sunday morning in San Diego. And then also there's a link to the LGBTQ Spiritual Summit. And very quickly, my plans are ultimately to do more on-site events, but in the short term, I am thinking about a radio show, an internet radio show as well, to talk maybe every month with a leader from a different spiritual perspective related to the LGBT community.
Awesome.
So RevJerry, RevJerry.com. And the book is also available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. So, man, it's been a quick 30 minutes, but again, folks, if you really enjoyed what you've heard, I think most of you that are regulars know we'd love some reviews and ratings if it feels like you would like to do that, if you feel so compelled to do it. Also, if you want to kind of hook up with me, so to speak, you can find me at The Coming Out Coach on Facebook. And you can always reach me at Rick Clemens on Twitter and using the hashtag The Coming Out Lounge. That's the show hashtag. And as Jerry was talking about his book, I'm going to talk about my book a little bit that's due to come out probably early 2016 is what it's looking like. It's called Frankly, My Dear, I'm Gay, A Late Bloomer's Guide to Coming Out. And I'm looking forward to that book getting launched. If you're interested in getting on the pre-sale list or notifications about where we're going to be doing book signing parties and things such as that, just hop over to rickclemens.com and you'll find the book listed there under the navigations. And as we always say at the end of every show, when we wrap up, we encourage you to go out there and never stop stepping out, stepping up, and stepping in to living your powerful truth in your way, because you do deserve to be who you are. I'm Rick Clemens, the host of the Coming Out Lounge. We will be talking to you in another week, so just stay tuned, stay tight, and stay in love with yourself. Have a great week, everybody. Bye-bye.
You've just experienced the Coming Out Lounge. Go online to www.comingoutlounge.com to learn more, and tune in again next week for more stories and tips for being true to yourself.